Matt, I'm assuming since you're sitting there that you are leading this conversation?
Sure.
All right. Remember to talk loud.
Will do.
Please.
Well, that's true. Oh, I'm not sure if they put the... I'm in the file or not. We can just run from this PDF. It's only three slides. So what we want to do basically is prioritize high level what you all would like to see in the budget. And then I think later on, once we go start getting in the budget process, we'll get the details and kind of get more into the weeds of what these high level priorities will entail.
Yes, so we're not looking at your trying to bring to projects today, but just that high level discussion of budget priorities, which will help us kind of develop our theme for the budget.
Okay. And so
off of the information that we took from last pre-council session, and information that you all provided to us over the last week, these were some of the themes that came through from each of your recommendations. So we took these seven, and we wanted to give you opportunities to kind of discuss those seven and see if there was a way that we could come down to maybe the council's top three. I know there is a lot of things, not to say that we would not be working on these items throughout the budget, but maybe what those highest priorities were to the council. And so that is pretty much what we had to discuss. This was going to be more of an opportunity for you all to direct us on what you felt were the most important items for us to especially focus on, with that written that we are not going to not do something that's one of these others as we go through the budget process.
So can I ask a quick question? At our last one, I think it was Nick that mentioned that some of these are in the others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So like public engagement, employees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that's just assumed.
Well, those would all be items that we would take into consideration when doing the budget and looking at other efficiencies and other items throughout what we do on a daily basis throughout the city. These were just simply the topics of the priorities that you all submitted. And so I didn't want to eliminate those items since those were common themes throughout what each of the council members submitted.
So, Andrew and Matt, at the time you're asking us right now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
So, I mean, top five would get us to the top three, basically.
Say that again.
If a top five priority list from each council,
you know, if
member,
we could come up with a top five like ranking, then we might be able to say this was the number one most important thing that the council wanted to work on, and then we could move forward from there.
This is something where we might want to not. Have
or
maybe submit to you over the next week our rankings of these?
Well, I think what we're looking for is just to try to get an idea of what are some of the themes that we can move through the budget as we get the budget. So like last year, one of the top themes was looking at our employees. And so you saw that through some of the policies that we move forward with trying to increase pay, but also how we looked at some of the benefits that we had. So it's those conversations that will help direct us as we're trying to say, okay, here are the projects, here are the things we're going to put into the budget from the council's consideration.
Right.
Let me ask about that then, Carlin. The employees, that's going to have a budget. I mean, we know that's going to have a budgetary impact already,
absolutely,
right?
Yes,
so I don't know that we, I would not want to include it for that reason. I think it's going to be addressed after the, isn't it? After
that's
the,
yeah, but the reason why you would, the reason why I say would you would include it is because it's probably going to have, it's probably going to be one of the biggest price tags that you will see in your budget.
Yeah. I guess I don't see any way to avoid it, and I wouldn't want to.
Right, but you want to highlight this is what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. This is
okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like the top three on the list are the ones I hear about the most.
Right.
No, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what
right
I hear
here
from staff. I hear you talking about staff turn, you know what I mean? Being able to recruit, retain. Infrastructure, I hear about every time anyone hits a pothole or something happens, and then affordable housing is what we hear a lot from the community, especially when we're thinking about recruiting people. But I hear about all of those things. Like, oh, did you already just put it in?
That's how
order?
I would organize it.
She organized it for you.
So I would say, like, social services, infrastructure, and employees, but have these other things be underneath it. So for social services, you could have community engagement, because that's a huge part to how we're discussing how to better implement and better fund social services. Infrastructure, you could include public transportation. Affordable housing is infrastructure, depends on how you want to define it. Community engagement should be under that too. And capital implementation is an infrastructure piece. And then employees is a standalone category, but also community engagement fits under that too.
Well, and it's also under infrastructure as well. Employees,
yep.
You know, because...
Yep.
Having them to do the work.
That's civic infrastructure, civil
mm-hmm.
infrastructure.
Okay. So we get rid of absolutely nothing. We just reschedule and organize it.
Yeah.
And you said make it into a top five. I mean, you can, some of these are higher
really
level
yeah.
than.
That's true. And some of them fit into these.
Right.
Pits.
Some of these are goals, some of these are tactics.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, Pat.
So I know that we're waiting on the consultant's report about wages and. Job classification, but I think we need to think further when it comes to the jobs that are so very difficult and so very hard to fill. Bus drivers, solid waste workers, CDL drivers in general, and the I don't know how hard it, I think you guys are also experiencing a fair number of vacancies in mechanics. Those are the folks that even though they're covered by a collective bargaining agreement, it does not equitably match the other two collective bargaining agreements, yet they do jobs that are so important to public health and safety.
When you say that they don't equitably match,
what would the wages and benefits that our other two collective bargaining groups receive are much more generous than the wage and benefits that we give to those folks.
Let's say the benefits are the same. The wages would be generalized by the classification within employee does. And so it's, so, you know, when we look at our positions that have been taken for a long time, you know, we have our admin assistants. You know, that's been something that's been really difficult to fill, and they're not under any particular bargaining. So I wouldn't just classify that when we look at our salaries and designated to just one group. I think for this city, it's probably an issue that's across the board that hits different levels. So we need to make sure that we have a large view of everything and not just try to look at those certain parts of it.
I would like us to focus on the lowest paid at the lowest paid, because even though we say we have a minimum of $15 an hour, I don't know anybody who can take care of their families on $15 an hour. And so part of our obligation as a responsible employer is to make sure that our employees can do their jobs without having to have a second or a third job.
I guess I'll, not necessarily countering that, but one of your concerns is that you have to look at all your salaries. So if you raise your lower salaries and you don't raise those in the middle, that creates a compression issue, and those in the middle will leave. And then you find yourself trying to fill those positions. And it's the same thing in your higher level positions. So you can't just raise the bottom without raising everything. And I think that's one of the things that we did passed, when we raised the minimum to 15, we didn't look at our entire pay structure. And what we did was we created our own compression issues because we raised the minimum up, but we didn't raise anyone else. So now you have positions where a supervisor is only making a hair bit more than the person that supervised, so there's no incentive to become a supervisor. And so so when you take that lens and you're looking at your salaries, you have to look at all your salaries and make sure that you're raising everything.
And Carlin, we'll get into this more when we have. And when is that? That's coming up.
That's part of the study that we get. So
March 20th.
So that'll be brought up March
20th. Well, and leaving that aside, we had this conversation this morning with DeCarlin about there's so much more to affordable housing than just a building available for someone to buy or rent. It's what the cost of the utilities would be and whether or not we have a transportation system for that person and their family to get where they need to go. And so, to me, I see those as all part of the same thing, although we don't have the cost of utilities on that priority list. And Matthew, I remember you saying that we can't do social service work with our utility rates, but we have a growing percentage of our population that can't afford the utilities, in part because of the condition of the housing that they're living in. And these are areas that we do regulate. Whether we think that we can regulate more effectively or more carefully, I know it has its own set of burdens and barriers, but we play in that field. It is part of our police powers about the condition of our rental property stock. And then it is also part of, because we own our own utilities, about how much we have each of our residences have to draw off the system in order to have an electric system. I mean, you know the difficulties we have with energy inefficiency in so many. And as far as we want to grow our economy, and I'm so impressed by what we did with the airport. You know, years, I lived here a long time and everybody thought the airport was a lost cause. And then through very intentional action, all kinds of coalitions came together to rebuild that airport into something that can attract additional airlines and have additional destinations. We could do that same economic development with public transportation and benefit not just the third of our folks that are suffering and struggling, but everybody, including meeting our climate action goals. And that has to be, between that and the condition of our housing stock, those are two levers where we could make a huge difference in the quality of people's lives.
But what we're looking at today, and I don't disagree, but what we're looking at today is trying to figure out what are our budget priorities for this upcoming budget. I think those are long-term city priorities that we need to look at, and to look at exactly what does that mean for our transportation system, what does that mean for how we deal with housing. But what we're trying to get here is, as we're preparing for the 2024-25 mm-hmm. budget, what are the things that we're going to put in order for us to create that budget?
Well, and I think we should create that budget for transit, and we should create that budget for...
Right now, we're in the process of doing a study for our transit system, and from that study, hopefully that'll help you figure out how do you move forward with the process in order to improve that system. Remember, the airport process was, 10, 15 years to get to where we're at today? So it takes time, it takes meetings, it takes actually putting together that lower infrastructure before you get to the point of saying, okay, we're going to budget for this improvement. So it's not something that won't happen. It's just going to take a lot of meeting and a lot of work to get done.
But they're already practiced in how to do it.
Well, but we're not. that's the thing. For the airport, that's one mechanism. For trying to do a bus system, that's a totally different process. And it's a totally different clientele. It's a totally different movement in order to get people interested in utilizing.
I switched the conversation a little bit to infrastructure, which I know I was one of the people that put that on this list, and I was not real specific, but sort of like the sewer system or the water system or the electric system, as long as it works when you flip the switch on or you flush the toilet, you're fine. If it doesn't, then it's a problem. And because we have our own public utilities here, I think we need to make sure that we are addressing those issues. None of them happen fast. All of them seem to take forever. But I think we need to be careful not to put them on the back burner, because that's going to come back to bite us.
Absolutely.
As frustrating as it is to try and deal with infrastructure, and as frustrating as it is to try and understand all the different rates that we keep bringing up, and the capital improvement projects, and the repairs, and the whatnot, I think we need to keep that as an important part of the budget, because we need that, and if it's a problem, it's going to be a big problem. Not an easy fix.
I guess my question I have on that one is that infrastructure is, to your point about long term, a lot of our infrastructure projects are long term planning projects, right? So they're not just one budget, they're over 5, 10, you know, depending on what's going into it. So does it help you for us to say focus on infrastructure? Because I don't think we're going to have like new projects all of a sudden, right?
And so what it does, some of the things that we need to make sure that we do is as we're master planning our electric system, as we're master planning for our sources, and as we have these maintenance plans that we are rendering for these projects on an annual basis, this shows exactly what are we doing in order to ensure that we have looked at our stormwater system and made those improvements that need to be made. We've also put the regular maintenance on additional systems, so we don't have the issue where we have a collapse where we now have to figure out how we got to collapse.
That sounds like good governance. Does that need to be a budget priority? Because
it does not necessarily have to be a good budget priority. You are correct, because it should be part of our long term process as we're looking at our CIP.
I would agree, but does that also, yes, good governance, but does this address the deferred maintenance that we've had to do because of COVID? Is that actually the budget priority?
So for an annual budget appropriation, that's the question. Do we want to see more money to be put into our annual maintenance so that the deferred maintenance is done a lot quicker? But it's not just utilities, it's also our street department. And so, like you started with the conversation about the complaints about potholes. And so what is our annual maintenance for streets? What is our annual maintenance for sidewalks? How do we ensure that we have enough money in our budget in order to do those projects? And that's Shane sitting there saying, yes, give me money so I can do those projects. That becomes some of the things we work at. And so from a budgetary process, remember as much as we have a very large, robust budget, there's probably more projects need to be done than we have funds for. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we understand exactly what the top priorities are, so that we know exactly what are some of the money, so what are some of the funds that we have to make sure that they are budgeted for.
We almost have more funds than we have people to do the projects.
Absolutely.
Stuff that we can fund doesn't do any good if you don't have anybody do it.
Absolutely. And that's part of our issue is, you know, seeing if it's something that we can do in-house or if it's something that we have to farm out. But then even farming it out, you still got to have someone who's actually watching that project to make sure that project is actually done. And so if Shane doesn't have enough engineers to actually monitor those different projects, then just funding it doesn't necessarily get it done.
Yeah, Nick.
Affordable housing is on this list, and my eye goes to that right away. In fact, when I submitted mine, this was the number one thing. Homelessness and housing. You know, we really don't have CIPs for housing.
Not yet.
But that would be outside the parameters of what we're talking about here anyway, wouldn't it? I guess what I'm asking you is, what does affordable housing look like in our budget?
And so right now, that's the question. So right now, if you're asking what does affordable housing look like in our budget, it is a part of a division in the community development budget. And so is that enough to meet the goals that you have?
That
becomes the question.
Yeah.
And so, should it be elevated?
Yeah.
Do you need to have a person who that's their sole job?
Yes.
And so, as we have those conversations, and as we're looking at our budget, those are the things that we have to kind of think about, look at.
Yeah.
And if it's truly a top priority, then we need to budget less.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, Pat mentioned a while ago she's concerned about what's ahead of us. I am too. I think that we could be in for a really bad time in terms of people maintaining their housing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can put this into the budget, and I'd throw as much money at it as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we do that, there's a period of time. There's a period of time that it'll take. Let's say we put money in to build something.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take a while to do that. So I guess that's why I'm asking what. So it might be that it's a position that spearheads that. Although we have that in housing now, but mostly it looks like at CDBG and Home.
Well, right.
Those kinds of programs.
And I think, there's an array of mechanisms and an array of things that we have to look at. And so it's CDBG, it's Home. It's looking at if there's ways that we can do homeowner assistance, if there's ways that we can do programs that will help someone keep their house as opposed to losing their house. It's those type of programs as well. Some of those we do, it's a lot of the way we're funded at CDBG. Is that enough? And if we have to do more, what does that look like? How does that function? How does that work? And so there's definitely a when you look at the spectrum for dealing with affordable housing, there's a mirror of things that we can look at. One of the things that I when I went to the city managers conference, there was a session that talked about affordable housing, and it was something that was put on by Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and they have a department that is affordable housing and community connection. That's what the department is, and they were actually able to pass a tax. I don't know if it was a general obligation bond.
It was GO.
So they were able to pass a GO bond where they're able to fund some of their affordable housing projects, and it's paid for by the taxpayers.
And so it's just
looking at the different mechanisms that we can go to. Now for something like that, we actually have to go to our taxpayers and say, hey, are you going to allow us to tax you to do this? And they can say yeah or nay, depending on how you would do that type of project. But there are a lot of different mechanisms that we have to get into and trying to deal with the question about affordable housing. But it's a lot of work. And for me, my question is, if it is a budget priority, then we need to budget like it's a priority.
Yes.
That's the question.
You reminded me then about the North Carolina model, and we've talked about that before, so that gives me a better idea about what you have in mind. Okay.
Can I just follow up on what Nick said? We have still a land trust that
mm-hmm.
unfortunately hasn't been able to put any new houses in the pipeline. We just had a retreat this past week. We have 19 houses completed. There's been some conversation around town that some of the other organizations that are going to build would like to then convey them to the land trust, but they haven't formally approached the land trust. But if we're going to budget, they have a mechanism, and they're well-versed in building small houses and finding income-qualified buyers. And so I would like to suggest that we give them the resources they need to get back in the business of building housing.
And I don't disagree. I think the land trust should be part of our overall portfolio that we use in order to deal with affordable housing. But it can't be the only thing.
No, that's true. But it's been sitting idle as far as the production of new housing. They finished the houses, but there's room for three more over in Cullimore Cottages, and we're at a standstill.
So if we identify affordable housing as a budgetary
right.
priority, you can list that as a tactic.
Yes,
exactly.
Correct. And I think, so what I'm hearing sounds like very much affordable housing is kind of, because we hear it, because it's also the middle housing, right? It's
yeah.
not,
yeah, it's
and to Pat's point about efficient properties, right?
Yes.
So that's definitely one of the, and it's probably sacrilegious for me to say this, but so cap implementation is not like a check or a sort of thing, because to Andrea's point on this, it touches on all of these.
And that's our eventual goal with CAP is to actually have it be part of our overall process when we look at any type of goal.
Right. Because when I think about infrastructure, right, the increasing rain events, increasing hotter summers, like what we do for infrastructure, what we do for affordable housing, those are all part of that. So that's, you're already thinking about that to be part of it.
And so if we're able to...
I want to become known that Mayor Buffalo says she doesn't want to do cap implementation.
If we ever get to the point where
Eric,
we actually...
Eric, don't write that down.
If we ever get to the point where we actually have OpenGov, that's one of the priority based in the
okay.
is cap implementation.
Okay. Because it sounds like, I mean, especially you said five, so I know you said three at first, Matt, but a lot of people were up, I think everyone's top, like those top five, your employees, your infrastructure, affordable housing, social services, public, I mean, right? So, but we, I think we all understand that a lot of them are interconnected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What's next with this?
So,
like, how does this, you know what I mean? How does this evolve into how you build out the budget?
Well, so in the past, the conversation with the council has always been at the end. Mm-hmm. And so it's after the budget has been developed, and it's the city manager's priorities. And then we come and say, okay, here you go, talk to us. What I want to do is actually have it at the front end. So we have this conversation with the council, and so it's the city's priorities mm-hmm. that is going to develop this budget. And so... this will help us as we're getting ready to start to go into our budget process, talking to the department director, saying, okay, here are the priorities that were listed. How are we doing these things?
How do your projects fall into these priorities?
And so my long-term goal, and that's probably a couple budgets from now, is to actually get to a budget that is a priority-based budget. That's my long-term goal. But it's going to take us a few steps to get there.
Yeah, Pat.
At the Finance Audit Advisory Committee today, they talked about, Matthew talked about the marijuana revenue. Should the voters pass that question? Do we have an opportunity to have a conversation with you about that additional sum to the general fund before it gets allocated? Or, I mean, I know it doesn't have a precise breakdown like...
I wouldn't try to do that this year, because one... as we're getting ready to go in the budget, we're not budgeting as if we have it, because it doesn't go to the voters until April. By the time it's passed by the voters, we really don't see any revenue until
the beginning of the next fiscal year.
It's when we start actually collecting revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's great for when we get into next year's budget to say, okay, here's what we anticipate bringing in, so this is how we can budget for.
Because even though, I mean, I know the use tax, the Wayfair tax had some promises made to the voters about how that would be divided up, but we haven't made any promises where
Correct.
The marijuana tax is concerned, and we don't know how much money it's going to be.
Correct.
But we have these unmet needs that are significant that we haven't been able to figure out how to fund even housing restoration for the housing we already have. I hope that we'll get an opportunity to talk about that as a council. Before that money gets earmarked for something else.
Yeah, and remember, that money, probably we won't really see that money until
Understood.
2025-26 budget. So we're not going to see it in 2024-25. But yeah, I think that should be part of our conversation with the following budget.
So does any council members have an issue with those, especially the top five on that list, kind of them working with?
So you're talking about from employees down to...
public transportation.
Public transportation.
With the knowledge that everything is happening.
Yeah,
In the context of cap.
I don't. And you've got, I mean, cap implementation, as we've said, is going to be part and parcel of all
right.
that. Community engagement, I see that too. And from what
I know
heard you say before, that's part of the whole thing, right?
Yeah. And out to that point also for community engagement, I appreciated the... including the survey results, both from the December and the January one. I think it makes me feel more comfortable, too, with saying that those are priorities, the things that we came up with back in, was that May or June of last year? Because a lot of the same things were the stuff that we talked about in that.
And so just on to add to that, we are looking at, Sydney and I and Brian need to sit down and go through it, but we are looking to convey more of the budget to the general public instead of waiting just till those public hearings. We'd like to go out into different community groups or have maybe a session at each of the wards where we alert that this is where we'll be so that people can come and join us and hear about the budget, ask questions about the budget, whatever we need to do on that, because I think that falls under part of that community engagement. The more people that know how the city is operating and what's going on, then we're able to, you know, to let and to then hear what they really need as well.
Right. And it helps with the trust in government, because then, right, they know we're doing what we said we're going to do. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the educational piece of this, that people need to understand better about CIP versus general. And so when we're talking about infrastructure, really a lot of that we're talking about CIP and people wanting to see things happen. So that doesn't necessarily, that might, but that's the largest part of what our total budgeting and financial does. It happens in infrastructure, it happens with the CIPs. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, our budget is people and property and vehicles.
Any other comments on this topic? Anything else that you all want to share?
Nope. So I just want to make sure that I understand that the top five would be employees, infrastructure, affordable housing, social services, and public transportation. And those are the ones that I should convey, or DeCarlin should convey, to department heads.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're going to do a better job of is actually connecting our different budget lines to priority areas. So right now, you look at our budget, you don't see infrastructure. You may see a little bit on these streets are being worked at, but there's a lot more that goes into that. So it's the engineering aspect, it's the planning part of that. It's a lot more to that. So we have to figure out a way to actually use our budget in order for you to actually see how those priorities are actually being met.
Right. One, I think you mentioned something earlier about updates, like just providing more routine kind of updates on where some of these things are, and I think that will go a long way.
Absolutely.
To helping educate.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else on this topic for us? Anything else for anything you want to bring up? Otherwise, I will end our meeting early, so we have time to get ready.
Almost
inconceivable, but okay.
I know. Let it continue. Okay. I'll go ahead and end our meeting. Everybody be on time to our 7 o'clock meeting in there.